Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Lots is going on in Alderville. The council has made numerous land purchases over the past year as the reserve expands its boundaries. Economic development continues. There is a band council election coming up later this year. Chief Dave Mowat will bring us up to date on all this and more. Have a listen. I'm so pleased to have with me today Chief Dave Mowat of the Alderville First Nations. Welcome to Consider This.
Good to be here, Rob. Thanks a lot.
What were some of the big moments of 2022?
Well, I would say that our pursuit of additional lands is an ongoing sort of a it's an ongoing sort of a journey that we're on, is purchasing more land and adding it through to the reserve, through the additions to reserve process, which is a process that is inherent within the Department of Indigenous Services Canada, formerly the Department of Indian Affairs. And so we were able to secure a sizable portion of land up north of Buckhorn, 575 acres of ecological land, beautiful land, and then also the other parcels that we've purchased are within are actually adjacent to Alderville, physically adjacent to Alderville. We started the purchasing more land when I got elected in 2019. That was one of my objectives, was to purchase more land and to increase the land base of Alderville First Nation, because it's been relatively static for generations. And so I guess now in my time, we've purchased just a little over 800 acres of land, and that includes the 575 up north. So it's, as you might know, it's quite a task searching out land and going through that whole purchase process. But we just actually wrapped up a deal just before the holiday for 21 acres that are immediately adjacent to the reserve. So that's been the big... The big objective is searching out land, looking for land, something that's could be beneficial to the First Nation, be it for housing, be it for environmental purposes, harvesting, you name it. It's sort of an exciting part of the job is looking for new land. And of course, you might remember that in 2018 we signed off on the Williams Treaty Settlement Agreement, and in that agreement there were 11,000 acres per First Nation, a total of 77,000 acres that was provided for in the settlement, that is deemed a legal land entitlement. And so we unlike a treaty land entitlement. And so we have to purchase the whatever lands we seek out. We have to purchase it at market price. We've been successful so far, and we're going to keep pursuing that. So that's been one big piece. I should say on the other side of that equation is the losses that we've had in the community, members that have passed on, and that's always difficult to deal with in the community. So I just want to honor those people that have moved on and are no longer with us physically. And then of course we have all of our own internal matters that we have to deal with, just like any other, local government. We we have our internal staffing challenges and infrastructure challenges. We have a water project that we're working on as we speak. So there's lots going on, a lot of moving parts, and it's an ongoing day-to-day challenge to keep everything moving forward.
If I could just go back for a second and ask about the land acquisitions, do you have an overarching plan? How much lands are you hoping to secure over what period of time to what level of expansion?
Yeah, so as you might know, like immediately within the immediate proximity to Alderville, it's not easy to buy land of sizable portions. And of course, a lot of the land has been held by farming families for a long time. So it's not easy to buy sizable portions. When I say a sizable portion, I would say 100 acres plus in close proximity to the reserve. That's a challenge. Ideally, it would be good to, when we do seek out and purchase land, ideally it would be beneficial to purchase as much as we could, as close to the reserve as possible. But again, that's a challenge. In the grand scheme, 11,000 acres is a fair chunk of land. And so even in the agreement in 2018, the understanding was that if it took 20 to 30 years to assemble, 11,000 additional acres, then so be it.
I know economic development is a key feature of Alderville Council's work, and I'm wondering if you could just bring us up to date over the past year as to what's been taking place.
Well, actually, I should say we just recently hired a new economic development officer. The position was vacant for a while. Our former ECDEV officer moved on into IT, and so that opened up a vacancy. And a former Coburg employee actually is now holding down the seat. We are looking to pursuing some opportunities in 2023 that will open up, internal opportunities for the new ECDEV officer. As you know, it's quite busy on the Highway 45, but the one thing about the business on the 45 is that they are all privately owned by Alderville band members. And so we don't control what's occurring on the 45. We do have authority over the hours that have been set. In the case of COVID, we had to come down with some restrictions in the wake of the global pandemic. But by and large, what's occurring on the 45 is by private band members. We are looking at an opportunity on the 45, however, that could see the light of day in 2023, and I'll just keep that under my hat at the moment, but we're looking at it as a potential exciting opportunity. On the cannabis front, I'll just be blunt, and on the cannabis front again, it's private band members that are holding down those businesses. And something that we really don't have too much involvement with. We should have had more involvement with that had the federal and the provincial governments came to the table like they should have in a duty to consult manner. However, that didn't happen. Unfortunately, on the part of the federal government, they didn't see the need to come to us and consult on that issue like they should have, because it doesn't matter if it's cannabis or if it's a gas line, it's going to have an impact on the community one way or the other. But be that as it may, that market will play out as it will. I suspect that it's not all I suspect that it's not all roses. I suspect that the market is driving that and, you know, creating its own dynamic, just like everywhere else.
And I know in previous conversations you and I have had, that's been one of your goals of your council, is to diversify the economy in Alderville. Can you tell us how that's going, and are you being successful?
Well, because we have a community trust, which we created out of our portion of our treaty settlement proceeds, we have the opportunity to invest, for instance, in sort of softer businesses or industries, if you will, and not even necessarily in Alderville. And so we do get a number of opportunities and or a lot of information coming our way regarding potential investments on that sort of side of the equation. Physically and within Alderville First Nation itself, I would say that we've always stood behind our local entrepreneurs to help drive the local economy, and that's not changing. There's always been a strong local entrepreneurship spirit here in the community, and that continues to thrive. And so I guess finding the balance between that and what we can invest in is the real challenge. On the other hand, land-wise, Alderville is probably covered by 80% of certificate of possession, which is as close to how one can hold land privately on the reserve. It's under the certificate of possession process, and so that means we don't control those lands, the First Nation, and so we don't have sizable portions of land to, say, invite in a manufacturing company, for instance, just as an example. So we have to be really choosy, I guess, for lack of a better word, as to what we wish to entertain, simply because of our land base on the one hand. And then we have another sizable piece of land that is managed and is solely dedicated to the Black Oak Savannah Tallgrass Prairie. And that is something that sort of goes along sight unseen, if you will. But the work that's going on there is hugely important to biodiversity. It's not what I would call a huge economic development driver, but it does secure substantial funding internally on the climate change front, on the species at risk front, on the biodiversity front. So it's quite a challenge. At the end of the day, quite a challenge, manning all of those different fronts to secure what I hope continues to be a good standard of living for everybody here.
There's been a lot recently about things going on within the Green Belt. And I know that the Green Belt doesn't impact Alderville directly, but I know that you in Alderville take the management and conservation of lands very seriously. I wonder what was your response when you saw things unfolding the last few months in regards to the opening up of Greenbelt lands for development.
Well, I was hugely disappointed in what the government laid down, and it wasn't something that just came out of thin air. I mean, this was in the back of, as far as I know, Doug Ford's mind when he got elected. I think it's a bad decision. I think that Minister Pacini is one that needs to be held accountable for that bad decision as well. I did correspond to him, and his answer was, you know, of course, it was a government answer, the kind of an answer that you would expect. But to put it the best way, to pick away at the Greenbelt the way it has been, a local biology ecologist and somebody that I look to for ecological information, and I'm always picking his brain about this or that, ecologically, biologically, etc. He said it best. He said, a little trim around the edges insults my intelligence, which is to say that picking a little piece away here and a little piece away there insults my intelligence, and it insults his intelligence. I think it was just a poor decision. I think that there was not enough thought given out, given to where housing should actually take place. You know, who is this housing going to benefit? That's my question, is who is it going to benefit? Is it going to benefit the struggling young single or young family that, you know, can barely make ends meet and are not going to have opportunity to purchase, even own a home? I don't know that, but I doubt it. I highly doubt it. I think that this government really doesn't think in those terms. I think that the developers are in their pockets, and they're in the pockets of the developers. And I think it's a sad day for Ontario when the Greenbelt gets picked away like it is being picked away at. The government can justify it all it wants. It should have left its hands off of it. And it does cross treaty land, Mississauga treaty land. So this comment period that came and went, that doesn't apply to the First Nations. We can keep picking away at this and keep throwing our information at the government and in my view, harassing the government all we want, because it should be harassed for what it's done. I think it's a sad day for Ontario, definitely Southern Ontario. And not only that, Rob, but this whole Omnibus Bill 23 and what it entails, it's not just about housing. It's about dissecting and overturning the entire land use planning regime and, you know, using the course of power of the law to make it the law. And I think it's a sad day.
I'd like to move on and ask you about the reconciliation process over the past year. How have you seen that process unfold over 2022?
It really comes out. It's fully adorned on September 30th. Again, we had a walk on September 30th up the Highway 45, and it was very impressive. That's about as powerful a statement as you can make on that day. And I know I had people from outside of the community saying, well, we should partner next year and do this or do that. I said, nah, you can come to Alderville. I think as long as I'm here, we're going to take a walk up the 45 on that day, because it makes a powerful statement. And we have a lot of allies and neighbors that come out and join us. And that's really encouraging on the reconciliation front. It's really encouraging that people take that to heart. Not only in our own community, but again, people from Coburg, Warkworth, Campbellford, you name it. We have a lot of people that come out and participate with us. So that's encouraging.
This past year, you had a powwow for the first time in quite a while due to the pandemic. How is that important to your community in 2022?
Yeah, it was record-breaking crowds on the Saturday. Sundays have always been a little less people come out, just generally. But Saturday was record-breaking. And, well, for me, it was like... long overdue, of course. The pandemic had you know, it did what it did, but it was time. People were basically starving for a powwow, and it was reflected in the people that came out. It was just a remarkable day. On the Saturday, it was a remarkable day.
You are coming to the end of your elected term in 2023. And I understand that there will be elections held sometime this summer. What are going to be the key issues for the community that will be focused on during this upcoming election?
Well, we have a few, I should say, call them sectoral self-government files that we're working on. And one of them is First Nations land management. And that's going to come to a ratification vote this spring. And what that does is it sees the First Nation potentially take over the 30 to 40 provisions that are in the Indian Act related to land management. And so if that ratification vote is successful, then the First Nation itself, Aldergo, would take over control and authority over its land management. So that's huge. Again, it's all reliant on a successful ratification vote. And then we also have a new leadership selection ratification vote that's going to come down this spring as well. And as you might know, we are governed by the Indian Act, and so our electoral regulations are governed by the Indian Act, and we only have two-year mandates. So we're seeking to enter into a custom code election process whereby we will we could see our mandate extended to 3 years if there's a successful vote. And for the most part, it's not like we're revolutionizing the leadership selection process. We're simply taking control over that. And it still has to be tied to the department, and you know, there's all those principles that still have to be tied to the federal government. But I could see some major change moving forward. Again, it's all reliant on a successful ratification vote. But I will be seeking another term. The election will be in July. excuse me. Of course, inflation is affecting everybody, Rob. And so economically, it's just as important here in Alderville as it is everywhere for affordability to be to be managed, to be excuse me, to be managed and to be you know, to make life as easy, I guess, for lack of a better term, for people as possible. It's been a struggle for everybody, and so it looks like it's going to continue to be a struggle. So we're as concerned about inflation and the effects of that on our membership as everybody else, but also you know, like for us, goods and services too. We've seen an increase, for instance, in housing. We just dropped in we craned in a duplex yesterday on Minnetonka. And you know, I sign off on the invoices, and whoa, it's heavy duty. But the costs that we are paying, and I can just imagine what the municipality is paying, and then when it trickles down to, you know, either the ratepayers or our members, people have really struggled in the last year. And so I think affordability is, that's the big one for everybody.
Chief Dave Mowat, I want to wish you all the best in 2023, and thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks, Rob, and all the best to you in 2023, and it's always a pleasure talking with you.
That was Alderville First Nations Chief Dave Mowat. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this.